Let's pray a moment. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the gift of your word, the story of your involvement in our lives. We pray that as we meet together, we learn more about you today. Amen. Amen. Waiting. That's what it says at the top of a piece of paper. Waiting. Waiting is one of life's trials, isn't it? Who likes waiting? Some of us are good at waiting, some of us are really bad. But there are some things we all have to wait for. There was a survey done quite recently about things that make people lose their patience. Imagine you're at a traffic lights. The car in front of you is staying there and the light's on green. How long before you honk your horn? It says 50 seconds. I think that's about 10 times longer than I would wait. People to stop talking in the cinema in the quiet bits. How long before you turn around and go, shh? They reckon 1 minute 52 seconds. I think they must have been Americans. I think British people waited about three hours for that to happen. For people who are late for meetings, 3 minutes 54 seconds. Very precise, that. So you can afford to be late for every meeting you ever go to by just nearly 4 minutes, and people think you're on time. Quite a relief for some people, I know, that one. Waiting the doctors 32 minutes before you storm to the receptionist and say, "What's going on?" Waiting for your significant other to get ready. Men, it says 21 minutes before our first, "Are you ready yet?" But I think it lasts a lot longer before we actually get out of the door. Waiting in line at the coffee shop, 7 minutes before you get to the front of the queue and go, "I need a drink and I need it now." That's for you coffee addicts. Obviously, as somebody who doesn't ever drink coffee, I wouldn't know. Diet Coke, that's my addiction. But there are some things we wait a bit longer for. 44 years to be precise, and there's something on the screen will show you what I'm talking about. You have to get that bit in. Snatch the title away from Manchester United. You just have to get that. 44 years we City fans had waited for that. 44 long, can you believe that? When they last won the title, I was, I'd just left primary school. The emotion on that day was incredible. I just was thinking, if we could bottle that emotion and have it for when Jesus comes back, how exciting would church be? But, I mean, I think I did cry that day. I probably cried a lot that day, to be honest, because it was such an exciting day. You just have to hear that word, Aguero! And you're back there. How many people are United fans who are really, really upset? Oh, only David. Waiting is really, really tough. We often invest a lot of emotional energy into waiting. Especially if you're like me and you like to be on time, and there's somebody who lives in the same house as you whose idea of on time is slightly different to my own. On time is, an hour after we were meant to be there, normally. When you're setting out on holiday, I always have a time in mind when I want to set out, and a time when I'm prepared to set out, and the time when we actually do set out, which is normally 2 hours later than I really think is the idea. It causes quite a few rows waiting. I found this quote that made me laugh. "I've noticed that the people who are late are often much jollier than the people who have to wait for them." It's very true. Waiting steals our peace, makes us frustrated and angry. Waiting is often considered wasted time. But here we are in Advent, a season of waiting, a season where we know what is coming, and we're filled with anticipation. Or we should be. We don't consider Advent waiting to be time wasted. So look at Isaiah chapter 7. Isaiah will speak to Ahaz. It's on page 705, if you want to have a look at it. Ahaz was the king. He was 20 when he became king of Judah and reigned for 16 years. So he was a youngish man when Isaiah was speaking to him. Ahaz was a weak king. He gave in to the glamour and prestige of the Assyrians in the region, in religion as well as in politics. He changed the nature of worship in the temple, introducing pagan practices. His government is considered, on the whole, to be a disaster. Better not make any political comments today. Large part of the reforming work that Hezekiah, his son, did was aimed at undoing the evil that Ahaz had done. So here's Isaiah, instructed to go up and speak to the king, to speak God's words to him. And in doing so, he speaks one of the great Christmas prophecies. Look at verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the young woman is with child and shall bear a son and shall name him Emmanuel. There's a debate, an intellectual debate about what's going on. Was Isaiah saying, look, over there, there's a young woman pregnant and this is what will happen. She will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. There actually was a woman there, so this argument goes. Pregnant, Isaiah uses her as an illustration. Just as I used the clip of Aguero, but back in those days they didn't have YouTube to help them out. Or was he saying, the Lord's given me knowledge of how the future will be, the way that salvation will come, the hope of the future, and the way that the world will be brought back to trust the Lord. So therefore, at the right time, the Lord himself will give you a sign. When that sign comes, it will be this. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and call him Emmanuel. That's what I read when I read this passage. It's a meaning that Christmas reveals as the truth. That in the future, from Isaiah, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and call him Emmanuel. Been thousands of words written about the meaning of the word translation as virgin. Doesn't mean a young woman or unmarried woman. The debate gets more prominence, really, in our sex-obsessed society. But what's important is less the status of the chosen mother, not that it's irrelevant, but what's important is the identity of the baby she's been chosen to carry. So what is Isaiah telling us to wait for? It's the very presence of God. The child will be called Emmanuel. God is with us. The Bible's full of names ending in EL and starting in EL, Elijah, Elisha. There's Michael, Gabriel, Peniel, Nathaniel, Samuel. They're all in there. Who is like God? That's what Michael means. Samuel, the name of God. Gabriel, man of God. Nathaniel, given by God. I found a list of 74 different L names in the Bible. People name their children for their God. But there's only one name we're concentrating on. We're concentrating on Emmanuel. God is with us. The presence of God in this world. Isaiah is prophesying the arrival of God. The presence of the living God with his people. And this is the prophecy that fills the season of Advent with anticipation. So what does it mean that God gave us Jesus? His only son, part of himself, to redeem us and save us, to pay the price back, to get us into a right relationship with him. Jesus, Emmanuel, gave up his place in heaven, gave up the glories of his seat with God to be born in a stable, in an obscure corner of the world, in a time we consider primitive, but became the turning point of history. We are luckier than Ahaz. When we hear what Isaiah has to say, we know what he meant, what he was talking about. he was talking about Jesus. So what difference does it make? The prophet says to us, wait, God is coming. And while we wait, what do we do? How do we feel? Another quote. The longest 60 seconds in the world occur when someone says, I'll be there in a minute. My son's currently got this thing when you say, come here, he says, un minuto, puts his finger up, and you know that half an hour later you'll be saying, come on, Aaron, get a move on. Minutes seem to stretch forever. But do we stretch waiting time and feel frustrated? Or do we use it as a preparation time? A time to open our hearts and minds. A time to be ready to meet with God in his own time. J.I. Pack has a great quote about waiting. Wait on the Lord is a constant refrain, and it is a necessary word, for God often keeps us waiting. He is not in such a hurry as we are, and it's not his way to give more light on the future than we need for action in the present, or to guide us more than one step at a time. When in doubt, do nothing but wait on God. When action is needed, light will come. God waits to his timescales, and we are privileged to know his plans. At this time of year, we're living in his plans. So as we wait, we prepare. And what does that mean? Well, I don't mean buying presents, food, drink, or chocolate. I don't mean going to parties, writing cards, decorating trees, driving around friends and families. I don't mean endless nativity plays, mulling gallons of wine, eating enough mince pies to sink a battleship, wearing silly jumpers and party hats. Mind you, some of all of that isn't too much of a bad thing. But what I mean by preparing here is thinking about what it means for God to be with us. What it means for God to be with us. To me, it means focusing on the amazing fact he gave everything for us. He brought to earth the kingdom of God, and so we know the glory of salvation. What we need to do is make a space in our lives to listen to God's call, to turn away from ourselves and to look to him. To remember that God's sacrifice, which ended on the cross, began with the sacrifice of leaving heaven. In the moment of birth, he changed everything forever. I know it's hard. Making space for God in this season is really tough. The devil does a great job of turning our eyes and thoughts and heart away from Jesus. But we need to turn back from consumption to salvation, from excess to redemption, from the physical to the spiritual. So my challenge to us today is to find a time to be in his presence, to thank God for his sacrifice in coming to save us. So let's start now. I've got to play a song, the words will be on the screen, with words that speak of the amazing God, King of Heaven coming down, pouring his divinity into the human flesh, his glory piercing the night. As we listen quietly, try and remember a phrase to take away with you. Or maybe even just remember that Emmanuel, God with us, is a refrain for today. Let's be still and listen.
Emmanuel,
King of heaven, on the earth be found. Let's finish with a prayer. Lord, we thank you that at this season of Advent, we are touched by the reality of your presence with us. The sacrifice you made began in a stable, led to the cross and an empty tomb. As you rose to glory, so let us be filled with the anticipation of your kingdom, and let your light shine from us day by day by day, that we draw people to your kingdom and your light. Amen.